Gringolandia by Lynn Miller Lockman.
They didn't torture him to death that day, and the next time a guard, un celador, came to get him, it was to release him from solitary. When he returned to the cell he shared with the compañeros, a bundle of letters was waiting for him. 2 years' worth of letters from Victoria, who after his arrest had taken their children to the United States. How ironic, he thought, that they would end up there, in the home of the CIA that had installed the dictatorship. The postmark read Madison, Wisconsin. She wrote about the children, her graduate studies in sociology, and her meetings with people to secure his release. Commander Gonzalez sent down pens, paper, and instructions for him to write her back.
Write that you are in good health and being treated well.
And if I don't? He asked El Celador.
The guard shrugged.
Just write what he said.
I'm not going to write a lie.
El Celador took the pens and paper away. His time in solitary set back his rehabilitation, and when he returned to his cell he could no longer walk unaided. He still wore the plaster cast, which had turned yellowish-gray from the filthy cell, the day Commander Gonzalez arrived with 3 celadores.
Aguilar!
The commander bellowed.
Here.
The commander beckoned Marcelo forward.
Let's go. Your sister has come to pick you up. You have 72 hours to leave Chile.
I am Morgan Le Fay, a tale from Camelot by Nancy Springer.
I smiled as I bent and picked up the milbrief. It nestled warm between my fingers, bright blue and happy, naked and free. But not for long. From my long, loose hair, I pulled 3 strands. I twisted the strands together into a long, fine thread, kissed my milbrief, and wished. Yes, I still had powers. I held a strong silken cord now, bright red. I slipped it through the hole in the stone, then looked around. Rhiannon gazed back at me. Epona, Menwi, Sanonis. I will see you again, I'm sure of it, I said, my voice wavering a little. But I want to tell you now that I thank you and I love you. I would see them again, but I would no longer be able to speak of love. Fate willing, I would no longer fear love either. They said nothing. They knew my choice by my need to say those words. I did not look at Merlin, but at somber Sanonis and sweet Rhiannon, as I reached up and bound the milbrief to my forehead. Then I looked at Merlin, and he bowed.
I will be honored to escort you to Camelot, Morgan Le Fay.
He carried me away on a steed of air, and I did not think to look back.
Vampire Academy by Rochelle Mead.
I moved toward him again, needing to touch him and kiss him and do so many other things.
Are you drunk? He asked,
holding his hand out in a warding gesture. Don't I wish? I tried to dodge around him, then paused, momentarily uncertain. I thought you wanted to. Don't you think I'm pretty?
Rose, I don't know what's going on, but you need to go back to your room.
When I moved toward him again, he reached out and gripped my wrists. With that touch, an electric current shot through both of us, and I saw him forget whatever he'd just been worrying about. Something seized him, too, something that made him suddenly want me as much as I wanted him. Releasing my wrists, he moved his hands up my arms, sliding slowly along my skin. Holding me in his dark, hungry gaze, he pulled me to him, pressing me right up to his body. Swallowing, I asked again, "Do you think I'm pretty?" He regarded me with utter seriousness, like he always did.
"I think you're beautiful."
"Beautiful?"
"You are so beautiful. It hurts me sometimes."
His lips moved to mine, gentle at first, then hard and hungry. His kiss consumed me.
The Astonishing Adventures of Fanboy and Goth Girl by Barry Liga.
A migraine's coming. Oh, God. And then a big wave of pain crashes over me, and I whimper like a puppy that's been kicked over and over again. And she helps me into my room, and then my mother is taking off my belt, and I don't want my mother to undress me. And thank God she doesn't. She just takes off my belt and my shoes and unsnaps my jeans, then makes me lie back and pulls the covers over me, and I curl up again like a baby and rock back and forth because it feels a little better that way. And I want to cry some more, and I do. I let it go and big, racking sobs that jerk my body, and that actually feels better. The pain is more manageable until I stop crying. It comes back bigger and worse and angry, like how dare I stave it off even for 10 seconds? How dare I? Mom puts a cool, wet washcloth on my forehead, which feels great, and I start to breathe calmly, and my heart slows, and my body rests.